Hello and welcome to episode 49 of Personalities at Carey, your very own WP Carey MBA podcast. Today we are talking with Zhong Nguyen. I hope I got that right. Let's see. We'll find out soon. Zhong is from Vietnam and he has a background in finance. He has worked for nonprofits before and he's also interned at the United Nations this past summer. Zhong is concentrating in supply chain and business analytics. Let's dive right in with our conversation with Zhong. Hello everyone, we are here on episode 49 and we have with us Zhong Nguyen. Did I say it right?
Close.
How close was it? That's a good answer. You say it then.
My name is Zhong Nguyen.
Oh,
it's a little.
So no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to get it right.
Well,
nobody else does.
You got to be fast for that.
Okay. All right. Zhong, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background? Where you come from? And why did you come to WP Carey to do your MBA?
Sure. I was a finance major. I'm from Vietnam. Was a finance major in college. Did some internship with the finance, but didn't see the meaning out of it. So I switched gear and go to nonprofit. I used to work with the Wildlife Conservation Society, which is a wildlife protection organizations in Vietnam. There was a lot of meaning out of it. But then, the work gets repetitive and I'd like to switch gear again and see what else is out there for me. So that's why I came to WP Carey, of course, for the curriculum, the opportunity to gain my management skills too. So yeah.
Okay. Did you just apply to the one school or did you try other places as well?
I applied early round. So I applied to two schools and WP Carey took me in. So here I am.
Okay. That was pretty quick for you.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, I had a baby back then.
Oh.
So it needs to be, quick.
Can you give us a little bit of more information about what you really did in your job before coming to WP Carey?
Sure. What I worked at the Wildlife Conservation Society is to try to impact the law makers so that they can create laws that benefits the wildlife trade in Vietnam. At the moment, most of the wildlife trade in Vietnam are illegal, and Vietnam is considered one of the biggest rhino horns market in the world. As you can see, 1 gram or 100 gram of rhino horns cost about $3,000. So it's more expensive than gold in Vietnam. And because of that, a lot of rhinos in Vietnam, the rhino in Vietnam go extinct in 2010. And the rhino and elephant in Africa now is being impacted by the demand in Vietnam and China. And that is where we fit in. So my job was to try to kind of was a lobbyist, but I also do other stuff like awareness raising campaign and all to try to put some pressure on the lawmakers so that they can create better laws for wildlife trades.
Okay. And you're lucky to have your family here with you. Was that a big decision? How did that go, like having to move your entire family here?
It was a big decision. It was going to be much easier with just me in here, pursuing the MBA program and looking for jobs and all. But, having a family is different from being single. You can spend the whole time for yourself. But the family demand time and effort and other resources that kind of interfere with the life here and the pursuit of excellence or the curriculum knowledge and everything else. But I am happy when they're here. We can spend time just go to looking for a nice Christmas tree for Christmas, which is coming in like a week. In fact, it's next week. And I'm just a family man. I pay a lot of attention to my wife and my baby. I love them. Being away from them is really hard. And having meals alone. It's efficient, but on the other hand, it doesn't bring me the kind of happiness that I want in life. So I decided that, happiness is more important than other things in life. And that's why I brought them here.
Okay. Since you've come here, how has your experience been at WP Cary?
It's been great. I mean, it is a huge opportunity for me to learn new things and also practice, you know, get out of my comfort zone in a safe environment. I can be whoever I want here. And the best thing is I can be myself without fear of being judged. When actually, I don't care anymore. But I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here. I saw myself improved a lot as a person, as a leader, and also at academically in the past 1 year and a half. I can also manage my time better with my family here. So, yeah, I'm really grateful. Well, one thing I'm not really grateful for, no, not grateful. One thing that I hope can be improved in the future or in the, well, cohorts to come is the tendency to stick into cliques. Mm-hmm. When we first started the program, everyone was very open, very subject to changes, and had a very open-minded kind of mentality. But as the semester, you know, proceeds, people tend to have cliques and they click together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's efficient, of course, and you tend to, you know, join in the group with people that are like you. But I strongly believe in diversity and working with people from different places so we can together become a more whole and a better group in general.
Okay. And is there anything else in the school in terms of, say, the clubs, career services, executive connections, anything that has stood out to you from your experience over here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the events that have been planned or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the club that I was most impressed with is Consulting Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's led by Tram, and you know Tram, mm-hmm. she gets everything done. Yeah, but she really stepped up as a student and a leader in terms of connecting with the alumni, connecting with other companies, inviting them over. I think one of the biggest change in this cohort is, you know, we have a lot of people going into consulting, is thanks to her effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful for that. I kind of wish I could have done more to contribute to the program as Trang did. That was the most impressive club for me.
So do you want to take some time talking a little bit more about what that club does? You must be going to the sessions every Friday or something. So what happens in those sessions?
Okay.
So that people who are listening can also join.
Sure. In those sessions, we just get together as a group and do case interviews, which is infamously difficult. In fact, I am undergoing some interviews right now with consulting firms. And I saw that these practices helped me a lot as a beginner, because it's prep you with general knowledge and the different approaches to approach a case. And after that, after joining those sessions, you can practice on your own with a friend or, you know, in other ways. But those group cases helped me learn a lot from also other participants in the group, learn from different perspective and different ways to approach the case. And I think that's really important, because, you know, if it was just me, I would stick to one framework, go with one way of solving problem, and that would be a remiss if I wouldn't attend these wonderful sessions organized mm-hmm. by our own students. So yeah, I was really grateful for those.
That's great. And when you came to WP Cary, did you come with an idea of what concentration you were going to choose, or has that changed over time?
In fact, I changed, and I made a change pretty late in the program. I always wanted to go into business analytics.
Hmm.
I think it's the future. But coming here and learning about supply chain kind of fascinated me in the third quarter or in the second quarter or so. I don't kind of remember. Second quarter?
What course was it?
I don't remember, but at some point I saw a presentation. Actually, yeah, I saw a video from one of the professors in the WP Cary.
Okay.
School of Business. He was a supply chain professor, kind of gave an introduction on supply chain, and that fascinated me. I was like, okay, there's a lot of supply chain that I didn't know that exists, and I would love to know more. By then, I had an offer from the United Nations with the more of an analytic side as mm-hmm. internship, but I just decided to, you know, this could be a very interesting thing, so I switched gear.
Mm. So you're doing both business analytics and supply chain?
Is that
No.
I just do supply chain.
Oh, you're just doing supply chain. Okay. So of all the courses you've taken so far, do you have a favorite course?
Yes.
Which one is it?
Buyer's Decision Modeling.
Okay.
Is my absolute favorite course. It is very quantitative, but Professor Byers is one of the top supply chain professor in our program. He go at a very slow pace and very steady pace, but also challenging. And the course required a hell lot of time outside classes. I remember once spending the whole weekend trying to work out a problem, but the result is very satisfying. When you figure out the problem, it helped me with problem-solving skills. How I structure to solve a problem, especially on supply chain, logistics, and all those. So I was really... I really like that course.
Okay. And you did end up taking other courses with Professor Byers, right?
Yes. Yeah. Professor Byers is a great professor. He has a very communicative way of teaching. He listens to our point of view and correct it if we are out of focus or we go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is how I learn the best, I think.
Okay. So you did mention your internship at the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how you went about getting that internship?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe what your particular role was, what you ended up doing over there?
Sure. Well, coming from a nonprofit background, the UN has always been a dream for me. It's the biggest unit, it's the biggest organizations in the world. And they do a lot of good things. So I always want to be there. And the decisions to intern at the UN was a very conscientious I put a lot of time and effort into it and look up on their website every day. I did not have any network, so I had to put a lot of time preparing for my applications, cover letter, and also my interview. There were almost 1,000 applicants for that role.
Mm-hmm.
I was chosen as among the 5 all over the world. We have interns from Finland, China, Spain, Portugal, America, from Harvard, Brown, Columbia, and I was among one of those. So I was pretty proud. My role at the UN was to use my quantitative analysis skills to try to come up with the optimum number of employees to put into, I think, the 3 or 4 centralized service center in the world. As you know, the UN has 1,000 offices in the world, and each of them have their own finance, payroll, account, payable functions. And that's a waste of resource for the decentralized model.
Mm-hmm.
So the project was going to kind of consolidate those functions into a few centralized administrative centers in the world. And my role was to calculate who to fire and how many to fire and how many to hire in the new and the old places. So it had a huge impact. And knowing that my work can influence a lot of people's lives kind of made me extra careful with that.
Mm.
So yeah, that was what I did in the UN.
Okay. Do you think this is like a good place to work at? Like, should students over here try to get into the UN next year?
It is an absolute... it depends.
It depends.
I had a very good team. My team was very appreciative of what I did and the result that I did for them. And heads up, the UN internship is unpaid. So, yeah, that's the downsides of that. My team were very aware of that, and they appreciate my effort to help them add value to the process. So I was lucky to have such a good team. But overall, the UN has a lot of talent. They are, they have a lot of senior people working there for like 50 years. And coming from an MBA program, we tend to be on the younger side of the UN. So some people may not like the slow structural change in the UN, which may not be happening at all.
Mm.
If you want to work in an agile, more energetic and like startup environment, then the UN will not be a good choice for you. But if you want to really help the world at any cost, and that is your top priority, I think the UN is one of the best place to go to.
Okay. Sure. Coming back to your school life over here.
Okay.
When you have some free time, you're not studying, what is that? What is it that you do? Like, what's your hobbies and anything else that you involve yourself in?
Interesting. I have a baby who is a year and a half. So my life outside of school revolves around her. Mm-hmm. We go wherever she wants to go. We eat whatever she wants to eat. She's the boss of the house. We even sit where she arranged us to sit. So, yeah, but it's a joy of being a father. I would never go back. Of course, I love hiking. I would like to go somewhere else to hike. Antelope Canyon, unfortunately, is off limit for children under 6, mm-hmm. so we cannot make it this winter. But we'll figure out.
This is always going to be time to get those things done.
I know. Right? I know. Oh, but in fact, a lot of Arizonians have not been to the Grand Canyon and Antelope Canyon. So.
Yeah, that's what, like, I'm from India, and if you ask me, have you been to the Taj Mahal, I'd say no, because...
You're kidding me. Yeah. I've been there.
But that's how it is. If it's there, yeah, you're like, understand. I can get it done anytime, but then
that's
true.
Yeah, and you never go, I can go into it.
Anyway, and, something that we learn in the MBA is to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. In your life, has there been times where you've thought that this decision that I've made is the best thing for me,
mm-hmm.
and maybe sometimes you've regretted some of your mm-hmm. decisions? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about those times?
Sure. I've made a lot of decisions that I didn't know was right or wrong. But I think one of the course of action that I tend to go with is to go with one decision and kind of commit my resources to that to make the best out of it. I don't know. One of the experience could be going back to the US and do a master program. So far, it's been a great experience. But at the moment, when I was having a baby, was expecting a baby, I was not sure if that was the best decisions for me, for the family, and for the baby in general. But I was lucky, I was blessed to have a very understanding wife, and she was willing to give up her job and be a housewife to take care of the baby, take care of me, myself, and try kind of keep the family together as one. And I was lucky to have the support of my wife. But at the moment, it was hard for me to know if the decisions to go for a master program was the best one.
Mm.
But I and my wife, we invested our efforts and resources into these decisions, and so far it's been paying off. Okay. So, yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions that are kind of personal, but
sure.
But we just want to get to know you at that level. So do you watch a lot of movies?
I do. I used to.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Do you have a favorite one?
Good question. Spirited Away.
Okay, well, I haven't,
you haven't
heard
watched
about this movie.
Spirited Away? It's an animated movie from Studio Ghibli. Have you ever heard of it?
I know Studio Ghibli, but...
Spirited Away?
No, I don't know that particular movie.
Studio
Ghibli is the one that made the Kubo and the...
It made My Neighbor Totoro. Okay. Princess Mononoke?
No, maybe they don't
house movie Kaza. Okay. Anyway, they won the best animated...
Oh, that's Laika Studio. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Well, they won the best animated picture Grammy Award. Or no, Grammy?
Oscar.
Oscar. Okay. In 2003.
Okay.
Yeah. And... yeah, it's strange.
And what is this movie about?
Yeah, this movie is about a 10-year-old girl who was, well, due to the debt of the parents, had to go into the bathhouse, which represents some kind of prostitution in mm-hmm. Japan by then. And the movie reflects how the Japanese society was in transitions towards a more modern, more materialistic kind of society as a development of the economy. And subtly, it also was a kind of movie that relates, that helps relates to 10-year-old girls who are often not who often not receive as much attention as, you know, at the younger age or when they become a teenager. Mm-hmm. Nobody makes movies for a 10-year-old girl and tell her, you know, who they should become and what kind of expectations she should have for the life ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
How she should be, what she, and the imperfections of herself, what should she deal with those? And it was a movie that was very well crafted, and if anyone has time, I would really suggest it, that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was distributed by Disney, so mm-hmm. I don't know if it's on Netflix, probably not. But yeah.
Yeah, they'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's...
So did you watch this when it came out in 2003, or did you watch it recently?
No, I watched it a long time ago, okay. After 2003, of course. Uh-huh. But yeah, a long time ago.
Okay.
And in fact, I am going to watch it again with my wife. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that'd be nice. Has she watched it before?
She has, but okay, she doesn't notice the... what is it?
The details.
The details and the nuances of the movie. And this time, when we watch it, I'm going to explain it to her.
Okay, so I'm going to point things out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. What about TV shows? You have a favorite one?
How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite.
Do you keep repeating or watching?
I do, yeah. In fact, that's, I've been going in loops, and I never move on and watch other TV shows. It's a bad idea. You should always watch new TV shows. But I keep coming back. I'm like, what should I watch now? And I go back to, okay, How I Met Your Mother on Hulu.
What about music? Well, what's your favorite genre or artist?
Interesting. For now, it's Christmas music. I like harmonical.
Like orchestra?
Kind of music. If you haven't listened to Pentatonics.
Yeah.
Well, they made wonderful Christmas songs.
Mm.
Like Hallelujah, Give Me Goosebumps. Yeah, go and listen to them.
Okay, I'll do that. Especially now is a good time to
do that. It is a good time.
I also heard like there's a Trans-Siberian Orchestra that comes and does Christmas music during this time. Maybe it's a thing that you can listen to.
Sure. Are they available on YouTube?
Yeah, they're available on YouTube.
What's the name again?
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you after this part.
Oh, look it up.
What about reading? Do you read books and you have a favorite series or just a book?
I used to read books, but coming to the MBA program, it's not very practical to keep on reading read books. Some people still do, like Rene, Tran do everything. I switched to read more articles, and I think a very interesting feature, it's Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
In I think Firefox, that keeps recommending me the articles that I am interested in reading, economics, politics, and basically how to deal with the world, which are becoming more and more digitalized and robotized. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. And if you had to choose a person in history that you'd like to just have a chat with, mm-hmm. and get to know them better, who would that person be?
Myself when I was 10.
You want to go and tell him the right things to do from that point on? Or
I think we would have a very interesting chat. I don't know. I would like to talk to myself more when I was young, because my perspective would not be kind of influenced by a lot of people, you know, as growing up.
Mm.
By then, and then also share with him or myself when I was young, what went on with life, and how I'm going to meet a woman that I'm going to love. So no worries about not getting married.
Did you worry about that at 10?
Yeah, I think as a teen boy or mm-hmm. a 10, you know, transiting into a teen, well, probably 10 is too early. But there was a period that was like, okay, I'm never going to get, you know, to marry the love of my life, which is was another girl in the school, famous, you know, I don't know. Yeah, okay. There was a lot of insecurity I would like to clear up for myself.
Hmm. You should have to figure out a way to time travel and go back in time.
I know. I think it's coming up.
Yeah. Do you have any pet peeves?
I tend to tell people when they screw up that they screw up.
Okay.
So, well, that is good and bad. I hope that I can tell them in a more subtle way.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I still want them to be better than they can be, whether they want it or not. Hmm. And I know it's like a daddy, you know, just a one. I have a daughter. I want her to, you know what, how she screw up and how she will screw up, no matter where, how she doesn't want it or not. But yeah.
So what are your plans after graduation? Do you have certain companies in your mind, mm-hmm. certain roles or certain locations? Can you tell us about that?
Okay. At the moment, no. I'm still applying for jobs. I'm looking at the consulting industry. Some boutique firms that I'm in the process of interviewing with. I interviewed with A.T. Kearney, but strangely, they never got back to me.
Mm.
I don't know, they're that busy or they just ignore my emails. So, but totally unprofessional. I follow up and there was no response. So shame on them. Sorry, any AT Kearney alumni or enthusiasts out there. But yeah, no response to me, to other people who apply to AT Kearney. So, but I moved on and now I'm interviewing with other companies.
Mm.
Hopefully I will get a result soon enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you want to be, like, 10 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
10 years from now?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know where I want to be, but I would like to travel to Japan and Canada to see what life is like out there. I heard Japan is a very beautiful country.
Mm.
Never been there. I had friends from Japan who cannot lie. And that's weird to me. Yeah, they just don't lie.
They don't know how to lie.
And they can't tell when I lie. I was making
it's
jokes.
It's part of their culture to just accept things as truth.
Which really, I'm really curious about finding out. And
so
Canada,
is this, saying you want to travel, does this mean you want to go work in those countries or you just want to travel for a week or so?
Just want to travel for a month or so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you have any advice for prospective students or people who are in the first year,
mm-hmm.
any advice to them how to get through like at least a year and a half of MBA? Mm-hmm.
Sure. There's really no limit to what you can achieve or what you can learn in the program. Well, the limit is your health and your time, how much you can probably give up. But then, yeah, I've been on a constant surprise of how much knowledge I can gather in the program, how the faculty are very open to feedback and also very open to help out if there's anything that I need help. They always say, you know, when you are, you know, later in life, when you go into a job, you had some question, call up and we have a talk. And that is very different from the culture that I was from. Vietnam, where after graduations, people are like, okay, we're done with you, next. So that's what I'm really grateful for.
Thanks. Once you've graduated, how would you like your peers to remember you?
As a person who can be trusted, I think that is one of the most important things that I focus on in life. The trust between me, my family, my friends, and my peers. And I was trying to build credit with my efforts, the amount of work that I put in, amount of help that I can extend to people, and basically just being a good person according to my kind of moral code. So, yeah, I definitely want to be remembered as a person who can always be trusted.
Okay. And I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to talk about anything you are passionate about or something you're organizing for the school coming in spring. I just want to take your time, get your message out there.
Okay. From my experience, people tend to struggle more than they tell you. So I was trying very hard to reach out to people to see if they need help. In fact, I was good with quants, and some people in the program are on the weaker side of, you know, quantitative methods and all. But they tend not to show you until it's very late, until they're panicking and freaking out. So what I try to do is just to reach out with people to see if they need some help understanding these concepts that are very, very basics to me, but may not be basics to other people, and kind of use my understanding to frame it in a different way to help my peer understand it better and retain the knowledge as best as they can. Yeah, that's the little effort that I'm trying to help the community here. It's not as big as Chang or other club at the MBAA, which did a very wonderful job. But for me, it's a more personal perspective. I would like to help people directly in a personal way and ensure that my efforts are on that person so that they can retain or understand as much knowledge as they can.
Sure. So if people want to get in touch with you for help or just in general to talk to you, where are you most active on social media, or you want to give out your email address?
Oh yeah, my email is D-U-O-N-G. Wait. Hold on. Delete that part. My email is what? Hold on. Oh, okay. My email is N-G-U-Y-E-N period D as in donkey, U-O-N as in nations, G at asu.edu. I've had quite a number of people asking me for advice on how to get to the UN. After the internship. So yeah, feel free to contact me.
Yeah, definitely. If people are interested in this, maybe you can write a blog, and if they've listened to this, they'll already know how you've kind of made your way through there.
Yeah. So. And a lot of people make money with that.
Sure. So that's a good idea. Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you, Shovin.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to us.
Thank you, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Zong's passion for working for nonprofits comes across when you talk to him about his time at the United Nations. I hope he gets to go back and make a huge difference in the world. All the best to you, Zong. To all our listeners, thank you once again for listening. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and so many other platforms. Thank you once again for listening, and I will see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.